everybody, this is William Del Pilar. This is Fired Up, your source for conservative talk on a Friday evening. I have a confession to make. I was babbling on for the last 3 minutes. I am completely solo tonight. No producer, no panelists. I wanted to go solo tonight, but my producer, much love and as his mother is going through post-op surgery, so we wish him, Big John, the best. But that said, I have a hell of a show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about the debacle, you know, the unsecured signals, I guess, the Trump administration's classified leak and signal shaky future, as well as Catherine Maher and her ties to the Signal app. The fact she's the CEO of NPR, who is desperate for about $120 million of our taxpayer funds. And the fact that she may be likely a CIA asset. And then from there, we're going to go into my popular hot takes, where I take a look around the nation, sometimes around the world, into what is happening. And I give you my take as a conservative Latino. And for those of you that are not aware, I am a conservative Latino. That was my main reason to start becoming active politically. For those of you not aware, I got active about 2015. I actually ran for office, got elected. I was a little bit of a rising star. A lot of San Diego saw a future in me. But I tend to speak my mind. And that's not always popular. I am a conservative grassroots. And in California, that's not a good thing to be. If you're a conservative grassroots in California, you may as well... It's the equivalent of knowing Hillary and getting on her backside. Your future's not long. And I say that half in jest, only because the California Republican Party is a mess. But we have new leadership. And check out my podcast, Fired Up California, where I talked about that new leadership. And before we go on, let me tell you a little bit about that real quick. Grumblingsmedia.com. Bookmark that website. You will find all our podcasts on there, our clips, our written work. But you can also find us at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. And as always, at the end of this podcast, make sure you like and share. As I said, we have a hell of a show. So let's get right down into it. Let's dive into a messy signal group chat. Obviously a leak where Trump officials accidentally looped in a journalist, exposing Yemen strike plans and sparking a firestorm over security breaches. However, let's pair with a deeper look at Signal's future. You know, let's spotlight its chairman, Catherine Maher's government ties, and the looming question of intel agency backdoors. I'm going to take a viewpoint here that is not being talked about. And what we have here is a tale of sloppy ops with the meeting over Signal app. But it's also a privacy app that might not be as secure as its 100 million users think. And what makes this a sweet podcast tonight is it's all tied in with Catherine Maher and her tie in with Signal, her ties to NPR, and the fact that many believe she is a CIA asset. So I broke this up into three parts, so it's a pretty heavy podcast tonight. So let's get right into it. So a major focus is the accidental inclusion of Jeffrey Goldberg. He's the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, as most of y'all know, and he was included into the Signal group chat used by high-ranking Trump administration officials. And that included National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and VP J.D. Vance. And Mike Waltz is the individual who set all this up, so he is the one under the hot seat, even though the Democrats are gunning for Pete Hegseth. At the end of the day, this is an embarrassment. It should not have happened. They should be, quite frank, not be using the Signal, any app. These type of meetings should be done in person, in a skiff, or in some type of protected room, whether it's classified or not. You're talking about a major event in the administration, the early days that they're going to pull off. And they did pull it off successfully. But that success is being overshadowed by the app debacle. So the chat reportedly discussed sensitive military plans such as the U.S. strikes on Houthi targets in Yemen. So I really shouldn't say reportedly because it was sensitive. What the issue is it classified or not? And critics argue this exposed classified or sensitive operational details on a commercial app not authorized for such discussions, raising national security concerns. Well, I can tell you right now that's a big fat lie. It was not classified, but it was sensitive. I will say that. And this app was authorized going back to the Biden regime. I myself would have sat there and said, guys, come to my office. We're going to talk about this, or we're going to go to this skit somewhere. You know, so first of all, who is Jeffrey Goldberg? Jeffrey Goldberg is an American journalist, and he's also the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, which is owned by Mrs. Steve Jobs, of the late Steve Jobs. And it's a position he's held since 2016, where he's overseen coverage and growth in relevance as all these rags die. All these rags are dying. They have an unending fund of money because Mrs. Jobs inherited, you know, Steve's wealth after he passed. You know, he's not an older guy. He's in his late 50s. He began, actually, he's 60. Started out with the Washington Post, then went to the New Yorker, and is now with the Atlantic with a focus on the Middle East. He's also an author who wrote a book, Story of Friendship and Terror. You know, I really wouldn't pay attention to the book. But he's also a connoisseur of yellow journalism. You know, he's also the individual who promoted the propaganda with the Hitler accusation towards Trump, where this happened in October 2024. He reported in the Atlantic that Trump said he wanted the kind of generals that Hitler had. And that was per John Kelly. So the question then became, did Goldberg lie about the Hitler comment? And what about the denials? Well, claims suggest Trump admired Hitler's military loyalty based on Kelly, a discredited general who wanted payback for no longer being part of the Trump administration because Trump did not care to listen to his establishment tastes and wants. Trump is not a warmonger. Kelly comes from the warmonger fold, a neocon fold. So that was a marriage that was set up to be doomed from the get-go. And I say this because a lot of the individuals that Trump brought in the first time around were establishment people. He trusted the wrong people. Look, he was an outsider coming in. So as we all know, he's done it much differently. So supposedly people backed Kelly up, but they were on the name. Now we know how the unnamed sources work with the left, their fake, their lies. From 2015 until even now, these unnamed sources, for example, the New York Times, have proven the obvious false. Case in point, the Russia hoax. 10 zillion unnamed sources. So this really meant that Kelly's account was a fabrication because people who were actually there allowed themselves to be named, denied it happened. And they themselves said it was fabricated. There are no named witnesses beyond Kelly that confirm it on the record. So this highlights a lack of corroboration and Goldberg being a never Trumper. I mean, he's a self-proclaimed never Trumper. So the how he got onto this is beyond me. But regardless, that's a little backstory on him. And then there's also why didn't he wait days to report the Signal story? So for the Signal leak, Goldberg was added to Trump's official chat. First of all, okay, he was added on Trump's official chat on March 13th, Yemen strike plans by March 15th, and then published on March 24th. So that's the timeline of 9 days, not four, I apologize. There's no clear 4-day gap. Even my notes. I correct myself in my notes. So Goldberg said he waited to confirm strikes and verifying the chat authenticity, and he debated the ethics of exposing sensitive info. He's lying again. He went on all the rounds stating, well, you know, I believe in this country. I believe in this and that. And I'm a patriot. I'm not going to release those. Boom. He releases them. And we all thought he was going to. In his defense as a reporter, that was his job. But he had to wait. He couldn't release that before the attack, which was successful, by the way, because if he did, that's when he gets into some serious juju. You know, so he released the full text after Trump downplayed it, you know. And you know, at the end of the day, it's not a matter of Trump downplaying it. It wasn't classified information. And let me give you an example right here in terms of what I am referring to. Oops. I get the image file. What I want to do is get to the share screen. So, as you can see here, this is the Pete Hegseth team update. Weather's favorable, just confirmed with SENTCOM. We are go for a mission launch. Obviously sensitive information. It's not classified though. He's not giving times or dates. F-18's launch, first strike package, trigger base, F-18 first strike window starts, location, so it should be on time. Again, he is not giving anything away here, you know. More F-18's launch, strike drones on target. This is when the first bombs will definitely drop. F-18 second strike starts. So he was actually very, very savvy in that. You know, I've been to secret meetings. Were classified meetings because the military, nothing major, you know, part of my job. And, you know, he's talking about what actually details and things of that nature. So that was pretty savvy on his part. So that's why I agree. It's sensitive. It's a screw up, but there was no classified. And the problem with civilians, they don't understand these classification levels like we in the military do or people in that world understand. Now, I heard on another podcast, well, civilian shit. I'm like, bull, when you want to bring this into the fold and when you want to talk about this as if it's danger, Will Robinson, danger, Will Robinson, and then you lie about it, we put Americans in danger. Not one American life was lost, and it was a successful attack. You know? So that's why this is a nothing burger, but it's dominated the news because the mainstream media needs something, and they're going to linger on this for as long as they can. But at the end of the day, because it was a successful attack, nobody was hurt on our side. Nothing was compromised. It will fade away, and the average American doesn't care. And Goldberg also wanted to rule out a hoax in terms of waiting for the attack and confirmation of it happening. So, the use of Signal for official business, that's a problem. You know, that's where the debate comes in over whether Signal, an encrypted messaging app, is appropriate for government officials to discuss military operations. So if Signal is praised for its end-to-end encryption, I don't use it. I don't have those type of conversations. I'm not your mother anymore. Yeah, so I don't have those. But while Signal is praised for its While it's praised for its end-to-end encryption, Pentagon policies and expert opinions suggest it's not approved for transmitting classified information. And that is not true. That is a lie. The Biden admin authorized its use. Now, that said, my personal take is I would not be using this app. I do not trust technology, especially when you can sit there and meet in a secure facility, secure room. The fact they didn't is something about pure laziness or out and about. No, you made time. This is a major attack you're planning. And you're trying to tell me you're going to talk over it because you think it's secure? No, we're going to get into why it's likely not secure. So, again, it's praised for its end-to-end encryption. Pentagon policies are wrong here in terms of what the people are reporting because the Biden administration did authorize its use. I gotta ask you people, I'm like, because I'm at this section. You know, the Democrats are outraged. PHF needs to resign. What's he drinking over there? That's the one that blew me. You know, this congressman from California, he should be more concerned with his wife stepping out on him while he's watching. I've never seen a more unmanly man in my life than this guy who was just trying to make headlines. And what he doesn't understand is, and this, I saw this in another podcast just last night. You know, they jump on the bandwagon. The people who hate the Trump, it's CBS. Well, you know, intoxicated history. He doesn't have a history. You had, again, unnamed sources, no different than Kavanaugh, no different than Trump. All the lies, unnamed sources. Nobody would come forward, and yet Hegseth, everybody he worked with who did come forward, what are they talking about? What is that? Everything has been debunked. Every single thing, you know, but people who are bigots, and I do mean bigots, who have TDS are willing to lie about the drinking. So that guy's a disgusting excuse for a human being, to be quite frank. But my point here is, well, where were you with Eric Swalwell? I mean, this guy slept with a Chinese spy, allegedly.
And when I say allegedly, I'm that's just a formality for the legality of the podcast. It's pretty much confirmed by many that he slept. It's just there's not that 100% definitive proof. Christina Faye, better known as Stank Faye, from 2012 to 2015, she was all over. Ooh, Eric. Ooh, yeah, baby. Hey. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Eric, what's happening here with your committee meeting? Eric, there. Oh, you know, in between toots. Me, I don't remember he cheated that on camera. They denied that. Well, he's just a moron, a terrible dude. You know, he epitomizes stupid people do get elected to Congress. You know, so she aided his campaign and placed an intern. You know, the FBI knew all this. And once they told him he cut ties, now the FBI says no leaks were proven, but we've seen the FBI was part of the Trump collusion, the Trump hoax. So you can't trust the FBI neither. You know, then there's Dianne Feinstein. Where was the outrage? She had a driver aid for 20 years, giving Chinese intel away. No classified leaks confirmed. Again, you can't trust the FBI. Now, had that been Trump, it was something, remember the Mar-a-Lago nonsense? Again, people not understanding how classification works. Morons again. And then here's one that cracks me up. Hillary Clinton. Oh, Hillary. I mean, she used a private email server for years, which was vulnerable to foreign hackers. She has relationships with Chinese. The Chinese, they were in her house. They probably knew it was there. Of course, they said no breach was proven, but we know Comey was aligned with Hillary and the Democrats. Remember, they also destroyed all her laptops. They purposely shielded her so we'll never know what secrets. Yeah. Hey, we got a listener here. Hey, Brian, thank you for tuning in, my friend. Brian MacArthur was a guest. I fired up last week with G hosting. I was not around. I was busy. Thank you, Brian, for supporting us. Make sure you share the podcast. So Hillary, she had her laptops destroyed. She had the server, and the FBI covered it up. Comey made a mistake that hurt her election chances, but that was just a mistake he made. History has shown since then how aligned the FBI has been with the Democrat Party. You know,
where was that outrage with Libya?
There's no outrage. If you said anything about the Libya debacle, you were called a racist because Obama was president. But so where's the outrage? Oh, I'm not done, people. Barbara Boxer, gold pink ties, you know. She tied the gold pink, accused of Chinese leaks via the co-founder, Jody Evans. Where was the outrage? And this isn't what about ism. This is about you treat it equally. That Signal app meeting was a debacle. Should never have happened there. And we do need answers. How did Jeffrey Goldberg? So, for example, at any meeting like that, you check off, okay, who's in here? You know, and you figure out, okay, who's JG? They didn't even do that. It was incompetence. But since nothing happened in a negative format, the punishment, well, it's one of those things you get reprimanded. And this is your mulligan, because nothing came of it except for embarrassment. So they're lucky. They're lucky. I'm not done. Judy Chu, CCP link groups. Representative Chu, associated with alleged CCP front groups. And then let's not forget everybody's favorite son, Joe Biden and Hunter's foreign dealings. Hunter Biden's China and Ukraine ties. In China's at CESC and Ukraine Burisma. I mean, we all know he was a big guy, Joe Biden, and obviously that dealt with influence issues. Nancy Pelosi's husband, investments, Chinese firms like Tencent, conflict of interest, John Kerry, his Iranian ties, ex-Secretary of State accused of advising Iran post-tenure. He should have been brought up on charges, the Logan Act. Millie. Where was the outrage for Millie? Y'all want to call up my Chinese counterpart, man? I'm going to let him in on a little secret. So there was no leak here because there was nothing to leak. And it Trump is correct. It is a, quote, witch hunt, unquote. Now, some Republicans and military veterans see it as a serious breach. It's a serious screw-up, but there wasn't, and it was a breach. But again, they got lucky because the attack went off without a hitch. And Goldberg did not release anything. Had he released something, then he may have been brought up on charges. You know? These types of meetings, again, need to be done in person. This was a sign of laziness on a headset. But it's even worse on Walz, because he's the one adding everybody in and then not double-checking it. I mean, honestly, that's a moronic move. Oh, he's a good man. He may be a good man, but he was a moron in that moment. Should he be fired? No, only because nothing came of it. And because if the Democrats aren't going to do anything with their individuals, you fight fire with fire and get on my back and ours was successful. How did that Afghanistan withdrawal work? 13 dead. Nobody was fired. How did Libya happen? Go down. Dead Americans. Nothing happened. A dead ambassador. So yeah. Go take your little complaint here because you have nothing else to talk about and shove it where the sun don't shine. So why did we attack? You know, I heard I listen to podcasts every day, a couple of podcasts. You know, we need to sit there and not involve ourselves in all of this. You know, we have a responsibility as a government to protect Americans. And that includes corporations. I find it ironic how people always separate the corporation from people. Because at the end of the day, it's people who run the corporations. Those are people on those ships with the U.S. flag. There have been 319 attacks since 2023, Joe Biden, on American vessels. 174 attacks on ships like the USS Stockdale and USS Harry S. Truman on Navy warships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. And obviously attacks on U.S. flag commercial vessels. 145 attacks. And the Houthis began hitting Western ships. I mean, they've been in way on. But recently, in 2023, over the Gaza targeting, so they targeted U.S. warships. And Biden, you know, what did Biden do? He took the Houthis off the terrorism list. They're backed by Iran. That man was a vegetable. I believe Jill and some of the staff were running the country, which begs the question of the pardons, but that's another story for another time, and pretty much that one's a done deal. So why did they attack? Solidarity with Palestinians, retaliation, and trade disruption. And they were, again, backed by Iran. And this averaged about 2 to 3 attacks per week. Again, since 2023. It peaked at about 3 to 4 weekly. So that's 1 every 2 days. From October 2023 to March 2025. You know, when Trump, in his first term, he authorized naval action. And it stopped afterwards. So what was the latest retaliation? Let's talk about the actual strike here. 30-plus strikes since March 15, hitting a Houthi commander's apartment and sites in Sada'a and Amaran, with 53 dead. Now, the Houthis persist, but shipping has been disrupted, with the shipping disrupted, and we're just going to keep taking them out, keep targeting them. And I'm going to talk about hitting the Houthi commander's apartment. I've heard 3 times this week, my crowd is tense. Some of the people I tend to, that you know in the Republican Party here in San Diego, they're fundamentalists. I used to go to a lot of Lexus meetings, and they're very fundamentalists. And then I heard it again last night. Well, you know, we as Christians what? All you're telling me is you don't read the Bible. You don't read the damn Bible. Because the Bible, woo, you talk about some, we don't take no prisoners. Well, that's the Bible. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But let's talk about Alvin and the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden, and the Red Sea and the Houthis. So there's about $200 to $300 billion in annual U.S. trade, which is about 3.3 to 5% total, I guess, of our trade that comes through there. Now, that's the other thing that irks me. Oh, it's less than 1%. Damn liars. Do some research. But y'all don't know any better. I do the research, and I'm here to relay it. So let's talk about real quick about attacking that commander at his girlfriend's house. I've heard it 3 times this week. The libertarian standpoint, and obviously the Democrat. But I did hear from a religious person. I'm like, please, please. So, I want to read to y'all a biblical verse. And for those of you not aware, I took Bible study literally every once a week for about 3 to 5 years. I can't remember when I was a child. I don't remember none of it. But I always remembered those were some sadistic people when they went to war. God told them, don't mess around, you kill them all. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 10 through 13. When you draw near to a city to fight against it, offer terms of peace to it. And if it responds to you peaceably and it opens to you, then all the people who are found in it shall do forced labor for you and shall serve you. But if it makes no peace with you, makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God gives it into your hand, you shall put all its males to the sword. Talk about people that don't mess around. So what does this mean? This means you offer peace. You try your hand at peace. But if there is no peace, you take those MFers out. And the Houthis have chosen war, and that's what we've done. That man was trapped going into his girlfriend's apartment. She chose to be part of this war that the Houthis have put on American shipping. So we took that man out. We tried peace. Stop. Don't do it. We're warning you. We're warning you. We're warning you. I'm not done, my friends. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 16 through 18. But in the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes, but you shall devote them to complete destruction. The Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded, and that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominable practices that they have done for their gods, and so you sin against the Lord your God. So what does all that mean? That means they wipe people out. Take no prisoners, is their belief. And my point in this is to everybody who says, well, we have as Christians, we have a responsibility. Yes, to protect other Christians. And our government has a responsibility to its American citizens. Now, I'm not a religious person per se, and I brought this up because this week, 3 times, I've seen the crap. Hey, well, you know, that's not very Christian. Yeah, well, then you haven't read the Bible. So in terms of this verse, like the Houthis, if left unchecked, they're going to spread that chaos. And that's what the verse means, that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominable practices that they have done for their gods. And then, and so you sin against the Lord your God, meaning we allow it to happen. They take over. We end up becoming them, which is what is the goal of Islam. Now, I'm not saying this because I want war. I'm saying this in the sense of like, enough with your nonsense. Enough with your nonsense. I can quote the Bible verse and verse all day long as well. Actually, y'all, none of them quoted the Bible, which tells me y'all don't know the Bible. Y'all pretend to know the Bible. So again, the U.S. launched a large wave of air and naval strikes over 30 Houthi sites in Yemen, including the specific strike on the senior Houthi commander's girlfriend's apartment in Sana'a, collapsing the building. And obviously this was inadvertently shared in the Signal group chat. There's a reason. You know, I've had this discussion with my partner. I go, stop. Just stop your nonsense. We don't want war. War is the ultimate last resort. But when you go to war, you don't go to come out with a draw. You go to destroy your enemies, to subjugate them, to have them crawl back to the peace table, begging for peace on our terms. That is what war is about. That's what we did in World War I. And then we made the mistake of not helping our enemies lift themselves back up, which was not very godly, not very Christian. And then we did that in World War II to both the Germans and the Japanese. peace was dictated on our terms. And then we helped lift our enemies up, and they became our allies after that. So war is the last resort. I was listening to a presidential candidate talking about the Jews.
Well, you know, they got, Hamas is protecting themselves without the kids, but we got to worry about the kids. Got to worry about those kids.
So what's the solution? Well, I think Israel should be sending more of their men over with the tanks. So my take was, okay, so you want Israel to self-sacrifice themselves because the Hamas is purposely hiding behind hospital, kids, schools, etc. I'm like, and this guy was running for president. Ay, mamma mia. Esta persona son más idiota que puedo creer. And that's the mentality that's out there. And why is this mentality out there? From individuals who never serve, from individuals who will never lay down and sacrifice themselves for their country. But they want you to. These people will give up this country to satisfy their political philosophies. It's ignorant. It's beyond ignorant, to be quite frank. So again, the Signal chat had J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth, and it all got leaked to the Atlantic. And you know what? As a military person, I did notice how they went from war plans to attack plans. Now, to the average person, y'all may not care, but that's pretty important in military terms. Meaning that to us is an acknowledgement that they knew this was not being classified. Sensitive? Hell yeah. Stupid for them to do? Hell yeah. But at the end of the day, it's a nothing burger. Because again, the launch went off without a hitch. So, Waltz is the culprit here. And he was part of the texting process as well. Now, sadly, some civilians did die. But again, y'all heard what I said. We don't condone or we don't like it, don't want to see it, but it's a fact of life in war. This happens. And it's not acceptable. You want to minimize it, but you cannot change your tactics because then you begin to lose. Korea, we did not fight to destroy the enemy. Vietnam, we did not fight to destroy the enemy. The Middle East, oh, we'll be done in 6 months, 20 years later. Israel, their six-day war. Our government went to Golda Meir and said, you know what? We can't. I don't know about weapons. Golda Meir said, if these people break the ranks and enter Israel, they will genocide us. And if we're going to be genocided, then kiss this region goodbye. And what she was referring to was nuclear arms. And they didn't want that, so they gave her the weapons. In 6 days, boom, Israel kicked tail. And they took the land that they deservedly won, that was being used as the backdoor to attack them. And what happens over the years? Are you going to give them back that land? It's their land. No, that's a spoils of war. Don't push a war. Those six countries, they started the war. And Israel took care of it. This is no different. So the fact that 5 children and 2 women died is very sad. But this is a product brought on by the Houthis who refused to stop attacking and were more than happy to see our men destroyed, to see our ships sunk. And they did see 2 ships in the past. So after this attack, the Houthis responded. They retaliated with unsuccessful attacks on the USS Harry S. Truman using 18 missiles and drones, all intercepted, and they said they're going to escalate it. Well, Trump doesn't mess around. Trump will wipe y'all out. We saw what Israel did, Saying our minds must take control over the Houthis. And this is also sending a message to Iran. Keep it up. Keep it up. And watch the hammer drop. And Americans are okay with this. People with philosophical issues or Christianity issues, they're bleeding hearts. Again, they would give our country up. But here's the reason why. If I went into this person's home or that person's home and started beating their kid, and somebody said, hold on. He's got an issue. You know, that kid crossed into his land, in his yard, and pulled the ropes or something. Well, he's got an issue to beat the hell out of your kid. They wouldn't want that. They'd be fighting back to protect their kid. We don't have border issues like Israel does. We don't have a border religion that wants to subjugate you, and if they can't, they want to genocide you. Here's the other thing about Israel, and I'm not an Israel fan, but I live in Reelsville, people. So, Israel, this one, he was Jewish, I guess, you know, said he was Italian. He was from Italian press, and he was asking everybody in Gaza, women, going back to the women and children killed. He was asking women and children,
they're cockroaches. They don't deserve to be alive. We must eradicate this world of them.
That's how they were talking from the Jew, about the Jewish people. Now, here's a kicker. This was not one every five people. It was 100%. Every single person. About 30 years ago, I saw 60 Minutes when they were actually work watching. And they had this young child, five or six. She was calling the Jews every name in the book. She hated them. That's not, it's like I saw this young black girl, 2 year old. Hated cops. Why didn't they hate cops? This is hate that's top. It's hate that's top. There's never going to be peace until you pound them and force them to come to the table. And they're scared. They know it. Look at Trump. They don't want to get the wrath of Trump. But the problem is the Biden, the Clintons, the Gores, the Obamas. They allow them to regroup. And when you do that, all you're doing is allowing your enemy to attack you down the road again. Did Japan do that to us? Did Germany do that to us? Did Italy do that to us? No. After we subjugated them through war that they started, we helped build them back up. We can do the same here. But the problem is when civilization is great, like ours became after World War II, we get fat and lazy. And bad men take over because of that laziness, that we're no longer keeping our eye on the ball. And this is the world we now live in. So after the strike continued, they disrupted about 75% of U.S. flag shipping in the Red Sea. So we still have our work cut out for us. So the campaign's long-term success is unclear, but I guarantee you this is the first of many more attacks to come. I think Trump has it in his mind. He is going to wipe out the Houthis, whatever it takes with Israel's help. So the question comes about, how was Goldberg at? Was it a mistake? Technical glitch? So Wallace has taken responsibility without taking responsibility. Look, it was his responsibility. And this was an offset failure. Again, not classified, but he should be reprimanded. Because when he went on Laura Ingraham, it's like, dude, take responsibility. Look, yeah, we screwed up, but the attack went off without a hitch. We got lucky. And I take full responsibility for that. And if this happens again, I know my head's on the chopping block. Had he done that, they would have moved on because it was a successful attack. So he's taking responsibility like a politician. I take responsibility, but then he starts to make excuses. He's the one who built the group, meaning the group meeting. So we don't know. An investigation does need to happen. And what was really terrible was when he sat there and said, well, I don't know how Goldberg. I don't know him. I'm like, dude, I have got my contact list just keeps growing, growing, growing. Every once in a while I'll see a name up, delete, because I haven't heard from the guy in 30 years, you know. But that happens, you know, when you're in those circles. So the fact that, so I can believe that Goldberg's number is in his phone, in his cell phone, or whatever he used for the meeting. Now, he also states that Goldberg may have manipulated his way in. If that's the case, then Goldberg will probably be brought up on charges, but that's slim to none in the fact that that happened because he had control of who got it and who did it. So, and Trump was, he blamed an unnamed lower level staffer, so they're not even on the same page. So there's some inconsistency. Again, a bad look for the Trump administration. And it's a look that he needs to most definitely be aware of and a reprimand. And they want Hegseth's head, but Hegseth trusted Wallace, who also a high-ranking official. But Hegseth should have gone, look, I'll secure here with just the people. I'm sure they will now. Hell, I'm sure they probably won't use signal chat. Just say, come on in. Well, boss, shut up and come into the meeting here. However, I, as an ex-military guy, that is secret clearance, who worked on an intel ship. Loose lips sink ships. Everybody wanted to know where we were at when we were underway. I remember seeing people fly in, didn't know who they were, civilian clothes, military clothes. They were doing some what we believe was CIA promoted and pushed and directed stuff. We were a spook ship out gathering information. So back in the late 80s, early 90s. So, experts outside of politics, they characterized single group chat discussion about Yemen strike as not classified, that it was more casual or non-sensitive conversation. It's very sensitive, but it was not a classified conversation. I would have classified everything. Again, not a good look for administration. But it's a nothing burger because the attack went off without a hitch. Leon Panetta is one of, oh man, he put Americans in anger. But really? You're a very good friend. One of your best friends, Hillary Clinton, who got our men killed in Libya. He dismissed that. He also dismissed Hillary's private email server risk as a non-issue. Yeah, in 2025, he's calling Trump team single chat. That's stunning. See, and I think Trump does have political capital where his supporters go, I don't know. What about Lydia there, man? What about Lydia? You know? I saw a video where they're taking a sledgehammer to her laptops. Then, obviously, Jonathan Turley has become well-known in political circles. He's a legal commentator and a George Washington University law professor, constitutional lawyer. And he says, quote, the FRA applies to substantive records, not all communications, and says casual coordination chats might not qualify, unquote. And what's the point here? He suggested the chat was informal, not substantive enough to be classified based on legal thresholds. So the point is, this is a gray area. People may not want to admit that, but it is. Then there's Beth Sanner, former senior intelligence official, ex-deputy director of national intelligence. Quote, it means that there is a pattern here of just a complete lack of understanding of what classified information is and what needs to be protected, unquote. I actually had this conversation with somebody at Gremlins Media when they were talking about the Mar-a-Lago. Do you understand how classified works, what the process is? No, but he was all over Trump because of TDS. And I really shook my head in disgust. I'm like, yeah, man, you don't even want to learn. You just want to accuse and hate. And that's what's happening here. But again, because this is a nothing burger, it's probably going to last. It's probably over. After the weekend, something else is going to come up. So the point is, though, this individual was critical of Trump's peace process, as I am. But the chat's content didn't inherently meet classified standards. This is in court. You know, this is me blown off in court. If I'm Trump, I don't even respond or send anybody. The court has no business in this. This is military foreign policy affairs. And per the Constitution, there is nothing that the courts have to say in this. Then there's Mick Mulroy, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense and ex-CIA paramilitary officer. Quote, on Ratcliffe's message, quote, essentially we don't want to share where the CIA is focused, but he didn't call it classified outright. He framed the chat as sensitive, but he stopped short of saying it's classified. And there's more and more and more. But there is one issue, the auto-delete feature. It challenges and violates the federal record by erasing government communication. That's where the lawsuits are at. But my question is, hey, we follow the Biden's lead. Where will you judge, compromise, both are his daughter's involved with the NGO, gets money from USAID, and he won't recuse himself. He needs to be impeached. If this tariff situation gets under control, entering the midterms, with the hate still going towards Democrats, we could literally take the House enough and the Senate by enough to possibly be able to impeach a judge who deserves to be impeached for overreaching. That's another topic I'll be talking about here soon on the future fire. All right, we got some comments here. What about a CIA operative whose name was exposed? His name was not exposed. It was withheld, and Goldberg did that for his own smartness and his own survivability. He would have been exposing it. Not good. But yeah, as I said, it was a major screw-up. It was a major screw-up. And unlike most people, I acknowledge that. But you need to understand how classifications work and there was nothing that was given that gave away any type of information that could have been used to thwart this. But that said, this was a major screw-up. Again, I was brought up in this type of environment. You have these meetings in person in there. That's laziness. But here's my kicker. The one thing I loathe are civilians who want to talk about classified this, classified that. They're the worst of the lot. Most of our hacks happen because of laziness of the government. And obviously we've seen that moves up the chain. Why? Because there's no accountability. If there's accountability, I guarantee you they would have met in a room. Look at Hillary Clinton. It's the easy one. You know, and because of this, that's why my take is, you know, they need to be reprimanded privately, and Waltz needs to be on the chopping block if this happens again. Why? Not now? Because it went off without a hitch. But they do need to figure out how Goldberg got on there. And yes, shouldn't Waltz offer his recognition for allowing Goldberg into the chat? Yes. Back in the Stone Age, you did not see my early portion. That was a debacle. That's what he should have done from the get-go. Look, we screwed up. I majorly screwed up, and luckily, nothing happened. The attack went off with a hitch, and let me tell you about this attack. And boom, you move on. But when you show the hand and haw, that's like blood in the water, and the sharks jump on it, the Democrat. And this was a good week for the Democrats. But if this is the best they got, it's a nothing burger. Trump's numbers are slightly coming down, and again, it's a combination of the media, as well as all the tariff talk. But this is where people talk political capital. I'm like, this is his political capital. He's taking the hit now. You know, and we've already seen with the tariffs, some companies already backing down. But it's scary. Those tariffs are like, damn, I thought they went back down much quicker. You know? So we'll see on that as it goes along. But this story should be over by the end of this weekend, in my opinion. So again, Jonathan Turley and intelligence agency individuals say it was not. It was sensitive info. You know, again, I personally would have classified it from the get-go. But see, there's a process we're taught in the military, a checkoff. Check off all those names. Who's there, who's not there. Because at times, sometimes there's people in that meeting that can be at that meeting, but it's a need to know. They don't need to know, hey, Bob, we like you, but we don't need you here today. And Bob understands. So a lot of protocols that Hegseth knew from the military, that Walsh knew from the military, were not followed. Why? They got lazy. And the Signal Act was authorized by the Biden regime. So again, they made their situation worse instead of acknowledging and moving on. But they got lucky only because there were not. The Democrats, you know, you put American lives in danger. No, he didn't, and no American lost a life. You know, but 13 military guys did, Democrats. Eric Swalwell was on his, was with Fang Fang. You know, Feinstein, Boxer, I could go on and on. And the fact that, why did I bring them up? Because there was no outrage over that. And those were legitimate breaches that we don't know, because Swalwell was for years. Diane Feinstein was 20 years. So, you know, and then we know Comey was aligned with the Democrat Party based on how they handled the server, based on how they allowed the destruction of laptops. So because of all that, I'm like, this is nothing burger, get off my back. You want to play politics, you fight fire with fire. But behind the scenes, I am all over these individuals. You know, oh, man, Vance. So all three of these guys are ex-military and should have known better. So they just got lucky. Let me tell you a story. I was brought into the command. To clean up the Naval Warfare Publication Library. Three individuals had lost their rank because of compromised situations. My first job was to clear the room. So the officer who was in charge of me was part of the process that had caused three people to lose their rank. My first take was, got to kick them out. I sat there and said, I will not go into that vault and do one thing to the officers out of there. Well, you know, we just took you to the captain's mast, and I go, that's fine. But you're going to hear from my senator and my congressman because y'all are willing to break the rules here. And I cleaned up that vault in 6 months. I even challenged the captain when we were underway who took a publication out of combat when you're not allowed to. And it was not his name, so the guy who would have been burnt would not have been the captain. I was like an animal then. Why? Because it was my tail on the line. But it's how I was brought up, the importance of security. And when you see people get burned, you learn. So hopefully they will learn from this. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the Signal Lab. So beyond user error like Wasp's blunder, Signal's leadership is under Catherine Mayer. Now that name may be familiar. Why? NPR was taken to task this week on the Hill, on Capitol Hill. And Catherine Mayer is the CEO. So when I did my research, I was like, holy mackerel. Well, we got it. Oh, this is, I agree, back to Stone Age. This is like this, the cover. Well, there's no cover up. They're just hemming and hawing it. I mean, it's a weak cover up, but the perception is reality. It's seen as a cover up. It's just a weak excuse. And that's my whole point. They made it worse than what it should have been. They were their own worst enemy. And this, I'm seeing shades of the old Trump regime and how they're handling things. And my first thought is, where's Kevin Wilds? Or Wiley's word? Where are the smart people? You know? They've gotten cocky. And this cockiness is what led to this. So yes, it is. Well, it's nowhere near the Nixon situation. But the concept, it does fit perfectly. All right. So, Catherine Mayer, Signal's leadership is under her. And that raises deeper questions about intel agency influence. My country, Panama, was built and created because of the American imperialism, and then leaders were because of the Army intelligence and then CIA. So, the intel agency influence is everywhere. You know, and she has ties to U.S. government-backed projects. If Mayer screw could snoop or archive chats like the Yemen strike plans, this leak might hint at vulnerabilities beyond just a sloppy invite, meaning these intel agencies are listening to everything. And this is how they take control of politicians. So to me, there is doubt on Signal's privacy promise. Look, there is, and this research was very eye-opening. So, there's experts like J. Michael Waller. They warn Mayer's intel ties are alarming, unquote. Amplify fears that agency backdoors could turn Signal into a tool for surveillance. This is why I don't trust these type of apps. Yeah. It sounds like I'm deep into that. My emotion got into it, but that's more of a transition to what we're going to talk about here. You know, and that's Signal under scrutiny, my scrutiny, because nobody's talking about this. And I want to talk about Catherine Mayer's influence and the app's future. So there was a City Journal article for May 6, 2024, and it explored the concerns about Signal's integrity because of Catherine Mayer. And it dug into her past, her ideological leanings, and what that might mean for an app trusted by 100 million people for secure communications. So Signal is a go-to encrypted messaging app, downloaded, again, over 100 million users, popular among dissenters. High-profile endorsements from the infamous Edward Snowden and Elon Musk. So obviously, when those big names in the security world, political world, so that boosts its image as a secure platform. It's marked as a tool for political dissidents to communicate without government interception or persecution. That's where it gets interesting. So in essence, they want people who are rebelling against their countries to use this app. So Signal's history raises questions about ties to the U.S. government, particularly the Alphabet institution, CIA, DNI, NIS, all of those. Partial funding, why? Because partial funding came from the Open Technology Fund, and that's a government-backed entity that's linked to regime change technology. Let me repeat that. Open Technology Fund, a government-backed entity linked to regime change tech. And this connection fuels broader concerns about tech companies collaborating with officials. Why? To control information. So let's talk about Catherine Mayer on the board of the app Signal. I had a brain cheat there. I'm like, well, what's that saying? Signal and the CEO of NPR. So, Mayer is on Signal Foundation's board. She's the chairman. And she began as a U.S.-backed regime change operative during the Arab Spring. That's how she got her start. She ran digital initiatives for the NDI, the National Democratic Institute, and that's a mostly government-funded group tied to U.S. foreign policy. She's a heavy hitter, or she may not have been at the time, and rose up the ranks. Her work involves supporting online dissidents and advancing U.S.-backed color revolutions in the Middle East and North Africa. So in essence, her background includes stints at the World Bank, UNICEF, National Democrat Institute, the State Department, and CRF. She's got ties to Anthony Blinken, the former Secretary of State under the Biden regime, and John Brennan, the former CIA director. She's a heavy hitter. She's also not a good person. If my producer was here tonight, he'd go, oh, yeah, that's a bad dude. You know? Those are all ties to the wrong people in terms of anything good happening for America, not with those people. So what's her career trajectory? She became CEO of the Wikimedia Foundation, overseeing Wikipedia's operations. I want you to think about that. Overseeing Wikimedia. Wikimedia. Okay, I'll get to it. So earlier in 2024, she was named CEO of NPR. Now, look at her background. Wikipedia, she Wikimedia, you know, which controls Wikipedia, and then NPR. Those are communications outlets that people go to for information, especially Wikipedia. And she now chairs Signal's board, and that's a role she took after being recruited by the Signal Foundation president. Now, remember, they got their funding from government group, or a good chunk of it. So at Wikipedia, made her push against disinformation, coordinating censorship with government input, the Biden regime. She endorsed removing, quote, fascists, unquote, like Trump, from digital platforms. And she saw the First Amendment as a hurdle to eliminating bad information. So she wanted to be judge and jury. She wanted to play God. In essence, her whole background is about gathering the information and then disseminating it under the guise of how she wants it to be disseminated. In other words, the narrative she wants to push out. Wikipedia and NPR with that background. She rejected a free and open internet, calling it a, quote, white male westernized construct, unquote. And she was recruited because of her ties to OTF and nonprofits like Access Now. Not good. She led ideological campaigns. Well, not Meredith, but the woman who pursued her was another activist. No reason to go into her. So again, while her cog mayor signal role alarming because of her censorship history and intel ties. David Heinemer Hansen, Ruby on Rails creator, says trusting signal is now materially harder with mayor involved. Her ideology frames internet freedom as a tactic, not a principle. Think about that. It's not our right. It's a tactic to be used by her and her ilk, meaning the elites. What I'm saying is she pushes speech suppression. So the reason you cannot trust this, if this is funded by the government and there's ties to the intel agency, they say they can auto-delete. But the moment you sit there and send a message through there, it's going through a server. Then it gets deleted. So what do I mean? So technically, Signal's builders, their IT people, I forget the term, but the people who build the app, they can put a back door to listen in or stash the deleted data. Meaning, before you hit delete, they've already grabbed that data. I would bet my life that's in place. Because if the alphabets are involved, they're not good people. So end-to-end encryption locks messages between users, but the open source code could be tweaked in updates that let builders decrypt stuff secretly. This isn't sci-fi stuff. This is actually stuff that's been done before in the past. So servers handle routing and metadata, who's talking and when, and they can hold onto the encrypted messages or crack them with a hidden key. Now, if I'm losing you, what I'm trying to say is, The techs can build a backdoor where they grab the information. So you may hit delete, but somebody has it on the server. And if your Pete headset walks Trump people and you're not friendly with the alphabet groups, this is information. They're looking for information they can use against you so they can control you, so they can turn you. This is nothing new because of Trump. This is something that is part of the intel world. So auto-delete wipes messages from devices, but the servers could snag them beforehand for later use, obviously. Past examples like Skype or Tor show government-linked backdoors can happen. It signals OTF funding plus Maher's, I should learn how to pronounce that, I apologize, Maher's intel ties. That's a question worth asking and worth researching. And nobody's talking about that. I'm probably the first person who's actually talking about that. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying, like, what the bleep? How did I think of this? And nobody else is talking about it. So what are the odds? Well, the code's public is checked by experts globally, and no backdoor has been caught in years. Caught in years. Snowden still trusts it. Look, Snowden's just a guy who sat there and released a bunch of information. We don't know how techy he is. You know, he had all this information at his fingertips. So Signal's whole deal is privacy. So getting busted with a backdoor will kill its threat. But it was funded by OTF. That's the whole purpose of something like this. They suspect Telegram. There were issues with Telegram, and that's how they got its creator. So it doesn't matter about killing the threat. They just can't get caught. Because once exposed, then the app is useless for their uses. Then you have Whitaker's anti-surveillance history leans against it. Whitaker being the one on the board who recruited the mayor. That's what some of the critics say. So big name cryptographers like Schneer, they back its security, suggesting it's clean so far. You see what I'm saying? Well, at this moment, they don't know. They're just giving you their educated guess. So OTF cash is where I stand. The cash from the U.S. government and Maher's regime change pass, it hints at cozy intel ties. Her censorship streak doesn't scream pure privacy. The exact opposite. They're also progressives, and their slant tilts towards security over freedom. So Maher may be aware of a backdoor if there is one. They have had a hand in building that, allegedly. I'm just speculating here. The servers are not fully open to scrutiny. And history, and you can think NSA's prison here, shows pressure can bend tech firms. We saw that happen with Facebook on a completely different level, but they bent the knee. We saw that happen all the way going back to World War II Germany. All those companies in existence today, Volvo, for example, Porsche, they all bent the knee to Hitler. So these companies will bend the knee. So I looked this up, and statistically, there's a 20 to 30% chance of a backdoor. To me, that's a pretty high damn aha there. Now, people say, well, that's pretty low, William. That's pretty low. Me, I would actually view it more at about 40%. So their secure image should face scrutiny, but it's not, and it should. When you look at who Catherine Marr, when you see it through her lens, her regime change roots, her censorship track record, and expert red flags blending her past and beliefs. That raises a lot of questions about the future of an app built on privacy promises yet funded by OTF, a government firm. So we've gone from elite chat to Maher's murky past, and this paints Signal as a app nobody should be using. Is it a shaky future where trust and privacy is hanging by a thread? I don't know. Tell me in the comments. But I know this, the stakes are climbing and climbing and climbing. All right. This is why I wanted to go solo. I didn't want to talk about this, but when I started digging into this, there was so much information here that I hand out. Part 3 from Descent to Dominion. Maher Signal playbook turns NPR full-blown leftist, and it's exposed in Congress. So Captain Mayhurst and PR Rain faced a day of reckoning, March 28th, 2025. Where were you that day? Where were you? It was as a House Doge hearings probed her leftist leanings. Oh, it was beautiful to watch. So Republicans are looking to slash NPR's $120 million in public funding. You know, I saw somebody sit there say they only get a small percentage. Actually, that's about 40%, I think 45% of the funding they get. I mean, half of NPR will be wiped out, which means half of the local NPRs will be probably spun off on their own as their own chapters, and then they pay a fee to NPR. That's how a lot of nonprofits work. So NPR has a $320 million budget. Again, $120 million from taxpayers. So that's about between 35-40% And Mayhurst's defiance bets on $200 million in private funds to weather Dodge's cut. So she's taking a gamble here in terms of not bending the knee. Though she did say the right things at the meeting. So at the House Doge hearing, she insisted NPR is nonpartisan, but her past faced brutal scrutiny. I love Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene only because she's like, she'll flip the finger. She'll say what she thinks. I don't know how smart she is, but I know she's trying. And she's actually pretty successful. People hate people who are successful at politics who don't take garbage. They hate Republicans who act like Democrats, and that's Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's what you call that blue collar. She'll roll those, get those sleeves up, and she makes no bones about it. She's a formidable foe, only from the perspective she's like that wild man. There was this guy who I grew up wrestling. He was a Lumbee Indian and proud. He was a mean. And he faced the number one ranked wrestler in the state. The number one ranked wrestler was better, but this guy was a savage. And I remember that match, boy. He took that number one ranked wrestler. He threw him around like a rag doll, wore him out and won. It was his only win against him. He lost every single time because the wrestler realized what he was facing. But that's a bit how Marjorie Taylor Greene can be. And so that pisses people off. Look, men have a problem with strong women like her. That's how I view myself. Anyway, she kept hitting. In fact, you know what? I'm going to show you some of the videos. I've got this whole discussion here lined up. Well, let me just show you the videos here. Let us start with, we'll start here.
It's not to consider that the Hunter Biden laptop was real.
Okay, so this is them NPR and how we don't have time to talk about Hunter. That's nonsense. This is NPR, a nonpartisan group.
Dismissed what was always the most probable theory of the COVID lab leak from Wuhan. They interviewed Russia collusion hoaxer Adam Schiff 25 times, who claimed to have a vault of information in his office leading to the impeachment of President Trump, which, of course, we now know was all fraudulent.
So in essence, they were helping Schiff promote the lie is what they were doing.
I'd like to submit for the record an article by Uri Berlinger.
Uri Berlinger is a reporter who said, man, we're full-blown leftists. He was suspended for 5 days and the writing was on the wall. They say he resigned, but a lot of people believe he was pushed out. Well-respected journalist, 20-some-odd years, progressive, but he's like, look, we got to report the news objectively here. And they weren't.
At NPR for 25 years, here's how we lost America's trust.
Without objection.
So NPR, unfortunately, has lost much of the audience that they used to have, and now they have a very partisan audience because of this. Who do they bring in to fix it? They bring in Ms. Mayhair, who has a history in commentary of promoting Marxist ideology, including critical theory. Said we should not use the terms boy or girl, has called our president a deranged racist.
So what he's saying is Mayhair was brought in to make it even worse. She had her ties, she hated Trump, and they hired her. You only hire somebody like that for one reason, to go full-blown leftist and attack the president.
Racist sociopath, and said that our reverence for the truth has become a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done. And
so what she's saying there is, look, I don't care about the truth. She was willing to sit there and shirk the truth to get what she wanted. out of this country, meaning she wanted a certain narrative, a certain way we look at things, and she didn't care about the truth that challenged that narrative.
One could look at that.
That's what you call every libertarian's nightmare.
That and think that maybe, in your view, promoting groupthink is more important than finding the truth. I thought we liked diversity of ideas, especially, and that as an online encyclopedia that you used to manage, activism was more important than accuracy.
So he's calling her out for her Wikipedia ties, for her past ties, where it's not about the truth, it's not about having a diversity of thought, it's about pushing and promoting her ideological beliefs or and the people she represents for.
Now, I had an uncle who used to say that you should never let the truth get in the way of a good story. And while that was humorous when we were talking about weekend fishing expeditions, when we're talking about news and information and encyclopedias and things that are of national importance, I find that very troubling. Real.
So in essence, he's calling her out on her ties. And the focus there, and I apologize, I could have cut it off, it was Hunter Biden laptop. And the coronavirus, and obviously Adam Schiff and how they kept promoting. They had an agenda, people. All right, let's go to this one.
Rabid progressive. Like, and do you not think it's a problem that your
So he just jumped right at it, because she is a rabid progressive.
Like, and do you not think it's a problem that your political leanings make it seem to the American people that you're not biased and you're not doing your job, because you agree that your job is to have journalistic integrity, right?
Absolutely, but there is a strong firewall between the newsroom and anything that I
do. Let's talk about the news.
All right, so she's lying. She's the CEO of NPR. There is no firewall. She can dictate to who and what policies she wants followed, period. So there is no firewall. That's just an unadulterated lie.
Newsroom. You have 87 registered Democrats, not a single Republican in your editor board. So, I mean, how does that work to give us the perception that you're doing your job of actually delivering unbiased information?
Well, I would agree with you that number is a concern if it is accurate. I do.
See, she's lying again. I would agree with you. No, she's just pissed that we know it. You know, why is she lying? Because she could have changed it months ago when she took over. She took over last fall. But she has done nothing to that. And in fact, she encouraged the guy for 25 years who called him out. She did nothing to stop him to leave.
I believe that we need to have journalists who represent the full breadth of the American society so that we can report well for all Americans.
Well, I think that you are failing. I realize you've only been there for a year, but I just really think that while it is a small portion of your budget, you very much should expect to restructure your revenue streams, because I don't think that NPR is necessarily worth saving.
And he's absolutely correct. So here's the big one. Here is the big one, my friends. So this guy who I'm going to bring up, I forgot his name. I have it in my notes somewhere. But he's married to Denise D'Souza's daughter, I want to say. And Denise D'Souza is a big-time conservative icon to many people.
There's a lot of your thinking, as expressed by your public statements, is deeply infused with economic and cultural Marxism. Do you believe that America is addicted to white supremacy?
I believe that I tweeted that, and as I've said earlier, I believe much of my thinking has evolved over the last half decade.
Now, she deleted a lot of these tweets. See, what happens with people when they become lazy? If she's been taught, you get rid of everything, you don't leave a trace, the only way they can track anything back to you. But social media does something to us, So these are posts that were deleted, but they found them.
It has evolved. Why did you tweet that?
I don't recall the exact context, sir, so I wouldn't be able to say.
Okay. Do you believe that America believes in black plunder and white democracy?
I don't believe that, sir.
You tweeted that in reference to a book you were reading at the time, apparently, The Case for Reparations.
I don't think I've ever read that book, sir.
You tweeted about it. You said you took a day off to fully read The Case for Reparations. You put that on Twitter in January of 2020.
See, this is a brilliant takedown. You know, everybody hates him, but Matt Gaetz used to be like this. He just take you down. That's what made him so brilliant. People forget he's a lawyer. They love to hate just because somebody's loud and obnoxious. But Matt Gaetz was a pro at this just as well. This guy has a completely different demeanor, though, but he's still very good.
Apologies, I don't recall that I did.
Okay.
No doubt that your tweet there is correct, but I don't recall that.
Okay. Do you believe that white people inherently feel superior to other races?
I do not.
You don't? You tweeted something to that effect. You said, I grew up feeling superior. Ha, how white of me. White supremacy.
I believe that I
paid debt. Yes, reparations. Oh,
I'm sorry,
yes,
guys, I hit the wrong button. Hold on.
Do you believe that white people inherently feel superior to other races?
I do not.
You don't. You tweeted something to that effect. You said, I grew up feeling superior. Ha, how white of me. Why did you tweet that?
I think I was probably reflecting on what it was to grow up in an environment where I had lots of advantages.
See, and for me as a Latino, a lot of conservatives, we don't believe in that nonsense. We're like, yeah, okay, we acknowledge the past, but no, I'm not giving you my job or his job or anybody's job. I've got to earn it. And my goal in life is to help people get better and better themselves so they're in a position. Your classic, I'll give you some fish, but I'm going to teach you how to fish at the same time. At the end of the day, she is looking to destroy one culture at the expense of another culture for a reason. She believes she can control. Her and her party believe they can control the black vote. They lost out on the Latino vote, which they thought they could control us. And this is C-SPAN, these recordings here. Oh, I did it again. That's
it. In January of 2020, you tweeted, yes, the North, yes, all of us, yes, America. Yes, our original collective sin and unpaid debt. Yes, reparations. Yes,
this is
on
regarding
this
reparations.
I don't believe that was a reference to fiscal reparations, sir.
What kind of reparations was it a reference to?
I think it was just a reference to the idea that we all owe much to the people who came before us.
And she's lying again. She was talking about fiscal reparations. She's good. I mean, she even covered herself up to go, oh, I don't remember saying that, but if you said I said it, I believe it. She doesn't want to get caught in a perjury. You know, get a Paul Manafort situation because Trump is out for blood and rightfully so.
That's a bizarre way to frame what you tweeted. Okay, how much reparations have you personally paid?
Sir, I don't believe that I've ever paid reparations.
Okay,
that's your classic comeback where you know, yeah, you want everybody else to pay, but you don't want to pay a damn cent.
Just for everybody else.
I'm not asking anyone.
Seems to be what you're suggesting. Do you believe that looting is morally wrong?
I believe that looting is illegal, and I refer to it as counterproductive. I think it should be
not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression. You didn't condemn the looting. You said that it was counterproductive.
He's getting her in a war game, meaning she was okay with the looting. She's okay with people getting hurt, beat, murdered in some cases, and $2 billion in destruction. Yeah.
NPR also promoted a book called In Defense of Looting. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I'm unfamiliar with that book, sir, and I don't believe that was at my time at NPR.
You tweeted that you read that book, but...
I don't believe that I did read that book, sir.
Do you think that...
He's just catching her in lie after lie. Let me speed up here. I thought this was 2 minutes. Is that true?
So stated in an interview that, quote, fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat. Would you like to explain how fear...
Okay, so what he's going through is a bunch of editorials which gave opinions that were against science. Meaning, you can't fat shame. Being fat is actually healthy, you know?
Latent fat phobia.
I don't have an opinion.
That's also from NPR. Do you think civility is racist?
No, sir.
No. Your outlet ran an article entitled, quote, when civility is used as a cudgel against people of color.
There, again, he's just hitting her and NPR over and over and over. And this was just 5 minutes, and he's pretty smooth.
Civility isn't so much social lubricant as it is a vehicle for containing them, preventing social mobility, and preserving the status quo. This is garbage. I'll spend all of my time doing everything I can to ensure you guys never get another dollar of taxpayer funding. This is complete garbage. Thank you, Madam Chair.
He was brilliant. He was actually brilliant. And that's what she faced. Now, this is Elizabeth Mayer, the one with all the intel ties, allegedly, the one who works at suppressing free speech and pushing her narrative. She was brought to Wikipedia to make it more leftist. How do we know? Well, they don't source anything conservative or to the right. The only source left is material. So you're only getting one narrative if all you're allowed is the source, the New York Times, Mother Jones, CNN, MSNBC, Joy Reid. And if everybody else is left out, you're only going to get one message. That was her goal. She brought that same process over to NPR. And now they need money. Nobody saw Trump winning, so this was a non-issue. I don't expect NPR to get defunded or likelihood, probably. Well, maybe it'll happen this cycle. But I believe if Trump's tariff issues do bear fruit and then they end and the economy starts to boom, we are going to take the midterms. Big if right now still. Let me scroll down here. So, in essence, Maher is bringing us the resistance blueprint. And she learned this with the Arab Spring tactics, building dissent networks. And now that's what drives NPR stats against Trump. And for those wondering, from 2010 to 2016, she trained activists in Tunisia and Egypt. Now, this is the woman who sits on the board of Signal. Signal being of government funding. She allegedly works for the intel agencies. She's quoted as saying encrypted tools and social media can topple regimes. She wrote that. Regional newsrooms and backstop editors echo this. Now, Melissa Chan, she's a very prominent conservative on social media. She flagged Maher's sway. So some people were able to show this early on, but nobody was listening or paying attention. Brandon Gill, that's who that individual's name was, Brandon Gill. Yeah. So what's next? She's still defiant. NPR's future is uncertain. There's a funding fight. NPR, I hope, gets $120 million public funds cut. What's her fate? She should be fired, let go. And she may be made a sacrificial lamb in order to get that $120 million. And because they get that government funding, the government can put conditions. Yeah. We're going to talk about conditions with the soda. So there you have it, my friends. You've got it from the perspective of the screw-up by the Trump administration that they got extremely lucky on because it was a successful attack that took out the Houthis. I even tossed in a few biblical quotes there that were much needed. As I told you three times this week, last night was, I'm like, I got to talk about this because twice earlier in the week I got the Christian about how we can't, with women and children. So I had to toss in the biblical text. And obviously, talking about Maher, the history of Signal, all of this needs to be investigated by people much higher up the food chain than I. And I hope it does. And then obviously NPR is on chopping block. I don't know if it will, but I don't know anybody outside of Democrats that want to see it remain in existence. I take it, you don't kill it. And they have enough funding. Just spin them off. You're not getting a dime from us. You know, they say, oh, what about Sesame Street? That was sold like 5 years ago. It's very profitable for like HBO or Showtime. So these programs that they have on NPR will survive if there's a market for them. And with that, my friends, let's get the hot takes. As I told you, this show was going to be a little bit longer. That's why I wanted to go slow. So my hot takes is where I give my quick hit topics. So there'll be about 1 to 2 minutes here per topic here. So the first one, Elon Musk threatens lawsuit over defamatory remarks. Now, Trump got the money from ABC because they were defamatory. You need to say allege or in my opinion. And that wasn't said. Case in point.
He's a Nazi and people don't trust him. Period. Let me just.
There wasn't like alleged. He was saying it. And I think he took a lesson from Donald Trump, Elon Musk. So he threatened legal action following that controversial take by the disgraced and voted out of office Jamal Bowman. You can't just label somebody a Nazi or thief like he did without consequences. There is no protection to that, but Elon's got to take it to court. So I think he should send a message. Now, hot take number two, Clinton faces backlash over Trump scandal commentary. Oh, this one's rich. This one's rich. So, Clinton, Hillary had to put in her 2 cents about the Signal chain scandal, but she has her own controversies, you know, and they are bad. In fact, it was kind of a bit of a joke. In fact, let me show you here. This is hilarious. If I can get to it here, I'm running solo here, so this one I did not have up. Here we go. All right, you guys see these. Give me 1 second here, my friends. Ooh, it's at 250. We don't need it that high. All right, so what did she do? Let me share my screen here. Sometimes there's certain fights you need to the stay at it. She responded with, "You got to be kidding me," when the Atlanta came out. Here were some of the responses. Oh, I gotta go, oh man, I apologize, people. That's on me. I should have had that one set up, but I did not. But in essence, they were hammering her from everything from Libya to her servers to smashing up to Bill and Monica. And like, you need to send this one out. And I agree with her. So Hillary made a fool of herself, but she's actually one of the few fighting back right now for the Dems. But she has no credibility. So I'm like, keep it going, Hillary, because you're seen as a joke now. And, you know, I can't argue with her hating Trump, being a man hater towards Trump. He did defeat the two women who ran for president in this country. Kamala and Hillary. Hot take number three, Trump team reconsiders Stefanik's UN nomination. So this is what Ursula, people go, you know, you control both houses. It's not a dominant control, and every vote counts. So they're asking Stefanik to pull back, to keep her seat until they can secure some of these special election wins. And the problem is Republicans right now are fat and happy and aren't doing well with special elections, and they need to get off their tush. So they've asked her to pull back. And I think that's the right move. I'm not a big Stefanik fan. Let her serve her service, Congresswoman. There's better and more better qualified people. But we'll see what happens. Hot take number four, Trump axes FMCS slush fund. So the Trump administration has eliminated a controversial federal mediation and conciliation service. It's one of these government offices that's nothing but a slush fund. You know, so the fund was used to bankroll lavish union retreats, luxury travel, and questionable training sessions. The people didn't even really show up for work. They siphoned millions from public coffers with little oversight. This is one of these hidden gems. And once they discovered it, they whacked it. And it makes it a big hit against Democrats. And they're having critics about this office here for a long time. These are very union-friendly projects. And so, good move by Trump and Doge. So it is a blow to the bureaucratic waste. Hot take number five, Biden allies link the vaccine company profits. This one pisses me off. So allegations have surfaced that Biden associates raised profit from a vaccine company operating out of a P.O. box. Talk about cronyism. Talk about a lack of transparency. The National Institutes of Health awarded a vaccine company, Inc., $28 million grant in September 2024 to develop mosquito-borne disease vaccines. They skipped all the process, and supposedly, allegedly, the COVID advisor Sonia Bernstein is the one who cashed in. And obviously, this is corruption claims that are being made, and this will be investigated. So in essence, it's insiders cashing in on our tax dollars. Here's another one. Hot take number six, Stacey Abrams faces heat over EPA funds defense. So she's drawn backlash, Stacey Abrams, for defending a $2 billion in Biden-era EPA funds awarded to her nonprofit Power for Communities. It's a payoff. Now, on MSNBC, you know what she said? She said this lowers the cost for Americans and works so well that even red states are pursuing it. With $100 million in West Virginia, $60 million in Alaska. So a little bit of insight here. Power 4 Communities was formed in 2023 with $100 in revenue. No prior financial track record. And they get a $2 billion grant? No. Things that make you go, And it was supposedly for decarbonizing homes, buying green appliances like induction stoves and solar panels for low-income folks. But it was nothing but a scheme. Ineffective. Much better ways to use that money for that same purpose. Hot take number 7. Michael Mann's defamation win turned sour. This is an old case. Old case. So climate scientist Michael Mann won a defamation lawsuit, won millions, against critics. And Michael Stein was one of the critics who he fought in court and won. They accused him of falsifying data, and he didn't question that. What he questioned was what they said cost him millions in grants, and they said that they were lying. So what happened here, the court initially upheld Mann's claim that his reputation in a hockey stick graph, it was a hockey stick graph that they mocked, that he was unjustly attacked. But then the court sanctioned him because he lied to the jury with exaggerated grant loss figures. So in essence, he lied to win. But he got the win here because appealing and getting it overthrown is much more difficult. But it is on appeal right now. So in essence, you get a climate guy who wins based off him lying to the jury. Same old story. This time the lie came out. So he still technically has a win, but it's a hollow win. So here's what happened. He was given $5,000 after I don't know how much. So he's like, yeah, we're going to give you $5,000 for the win, but you got to pay Stein's lawyers $530,000 in legal fees to wait for it, falsifying data. So he wins $5,000 but has to pay $535,000. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is we still have to wait and see on the appeals, and I'll let you know once that comes out. Because I think this should be thrown out. I don't know if it will be. Hot take number 8, Maine Senator questions climate change disconnect. Senator Angus King, a liberal, even though he claims to be independent, he's confused. Because like for 13 years, climate change was a national security issue. Which is bull. It's not a direct national security issue. It lacks immediate military or geopolitical impact. Cyber attacks and terrorism are much higher on the list. Look, when I was out to sea or wherever I was, we knew the weather. We knew what to expect. That was part of the everyday plan. It's not a national security, and Tulsi Gabbard did correct by not including it. Now, here's one here that I guess a lot of the libertarians are going to like. Soda companies resist HHS push to cut SNAP sugar. So soda companies are fighting against RFK Jr. ban on sugary drinks from SNAP eligibility. Now, when Bloomberg tried this in New York City, wanting to impose, I guess, taxes or fees if you bought the big gulp, I was against that. But this is a government program with my tax dollars. And anytime you give government money to any group or individual, you have a right to have conditions on it. I'm indifferent to this. But at the end of the day, the government has a right to put conditions. They're like, yeah, if you want the money, here's conditions for it. It's not your money. You did not earn this money. Now, if you earn the money, then yeah, the government has no business in telling you what to do with your money. This is not their money. So I stand on the side of RFK. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm like, if it's not your money, then if you want it, there can be conditions with it. Hot take number 10, ethics watchdog targets senator's business size. I love this one. The ethics watchdog fact. They have raised concerns over Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. That guy's a vile scum of a human being. He steered over $6.9 million in federal grants to Ocean Conservancy, a nonprofit tied to his wife, Sandra Whitehouse's consulting firm. They pocketed $533,000 since 2010. And Whitehouse voted on the 2021 bipartisan infrastructure law and the 2024 EPA appropriations, which set $5.2 million and $1.7 million to Ocean Conservancy in 2024. That's not a potential conflict. It's a clear conflict because Sanders' firm, the consulting firm, earned $150,000. All the while, Whitehouse is shaping climate policy as she wants it. That's clear-cut corruption. I think he should be investigated, and if charges can be brought, they should be dropped. Schumer defiant amid leadership challenges. So we've been watching this. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's rejected calls to resign. because of the fact that he signed on for the extension to keep the government funded so there was no stopping the government. So here's the problem. He still has 65% of Black and Democrat voters that approved of him, how he handled that agreement. 32% strongly. All these naysayers that are pissed, they're the rabble-rousers. They're the hardcore Bernie AOC types. But at the end of the day, here's the other reason. He controls the purse strings. Meaning, he controls the money. He can make or break you in certain elections. So he's there. You guys are stuck with him until he chooses to leave. Hot take number 12, New York blocks non-citizen voting proposal. A New York appeals court has upheld a decision to block non-citizen voting. Look. People, you don't understand. Illegals or non-citizens don't vote or are allowed to vote. Countries can destroy you by flooding our country with illegals with a game plan. Case in point, China sends their baby mamas who haven't given birth to the baby, puts them up in houses and hotels. Very popular here in California. They have the kid. The kid is seen as a citizen. They go back to China. They build, that's their future spies. So yes, that was the right law to strike down. It's not even questionable. North Carolina opens door to sue vaccine providers. This one's big. So North Carolina Supreme Court ruled 5-2 this past month, this last week, that an individual and her son can sue the county school for giving him a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine when they say we do not want that shot. And Pfizer's like, well, we're immune. The shot's going to be given anyway, or the people giving that. Well, the court said that that act that gives them immunity doesn't fully block state constitutional claims, like battery, when a 14-year-old, the kid was 14, was jabbed despite his and the mom's objection. So that's a federal law. The PREP Act, that's a 2005 federal law that grants immunity to vaccine providers during public health emergency. But the court said it doesn't fully block state constitutional claims like battery. So this is huge. This could open the door to shake up the legal protections for vaccine makers. This is one where we have to keep our eye on. Hot take number 14, Pam Bondi case sparks security info debate. So this one I was a bit confused on. The judge who should be impeached, I agree with Libertarian Larry Sharp. This judge, James Boasberg, should be impeached. He's overreached. I'm going to talk about him. I've started to dig up a lot of information about his ties, his conflict of interest ties regarding his daughter and other judges. And what happens is Democrats are smart. They judge shop. So they do a lot of this in the Washington, D.C. circle where they have friendly judges. But anyway, there's a legal dispute that pits Pam Bondi against him because he's demanded national security details on Trump's deportation flights. Now, I thought this was litigated in the past before, and it has been. One case, they had to give the judge the information. Another case, the judge lost and was not allowed to see the information. So I don't know how this was going to play out. We'll have to wait and see. But that fight is brewing. Hot take number 15, the feds accused agitator of hiding UNRWA ties. This one's interesting. Mahmoud Khalil, very infamous. He's an anti-Semite. He's facing new federal charges for concealing ties to the UNRWA on his green card application, which he was supposed to disclose. And for those of you that don't remember, he led a Columbia University apartheid divest, a student coalition that is anti-Israel. And the intimidation, the violence they use when university tells the Jewish kids, well, you can't come to campus, we're going to teach you via Zoom, it's because they fear for their lives. That is enough for my eyes. They get them deported. But here's another reason. The UNRWA is called the United Nations Relief and Works Agency. It's a UN body that provides humanitarian aid like food and healthcare to Palestinian refugees. But it's under fire because there is evidence and claims that staff joined Hamas October 7th with their attack on Israel. Now, this was brought to my attention months ago in October. Why? Because Israel exposed the Hamas tunnel network running directly beneath the UNRWA's Gaza City headquarters. It was obvious. When I saw it, I was like, how did the UN not know? How could you not know? It's right there. It was visible from the tower. From the tower, you can see the end of the tunnel. They knew. They knew. So they're saying that Khalil represented or misrepresented his affiliation with a controversial agency. So the case is building up. I told people who are for him, I'm like, look, Y'all are just jumping on the leftist news bandwagon. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying I'm going to wait and see. I have to wait and see. I said this about COVID. I was proven right. And I've said this about other things. And I've been proven right. I'm taking a wait and see approach here, but I see the evidence pointing the way to deportation. And once again, another hate crime hoax. Number, hot take number 16, a Pennsylvania city worker. LaTosha Brown faces allegations of staging a hate crime by planting a noose at her desk, raising questions about authenticity. They busted her. She did not want to talk about this. She did not want to, she did not participate. She was actually antagonistic towards the investigation. Why? Because she fabricated the event for personal gain. So now she's in charge of false reporting and tampering with evidence. So they wanted a DNA, her DNA. Everybody in the office, yeah, because that's my DNA. Everybody was tested. She refused. Why? Well, they found her DNA on the noose. She refused to provide the DNA voluntarily, and it was court ordered. So, to give this a final nail in the coffin of this race hoax, this reminded me of over 400 race hoaxes that Wilfred Riley wrote in his book, Hate Crime Hoax. And racism is so prevalent, like people want to say. Why do they have to keep making it up? Are there racists out there? Yes, there are white racists, there are black racists, Latino racists, Asian racists. There are racists within the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, everywhere. You're never going to get rid of it. But statistically, there's not much white racists. I can tell you that. And there you have it, folks. Those are my hot takes. Now, what I want to do is I want to end the week with my video of the week. And this is from Tennessee's own Representative Tim Burchett, congressional activist. He absolutely obliterates a pajama boy citizen journalist who dared step into the ring. The little JD guy he suffered chef with, do you trust Trump's national security team to keep war plans secret? Big mistake. And here is why.
Do you trust Trump's national security team to keep our war plans top secret?
Do you trust your mother every night to fix your hot pockets and make sure your Game Boy is turned on?
And there you have it, my friends. That is our show for the week. I ripped through everything, but I thought it's so important. Nobody was talking about Mayer, her past, her ties to the Signal app, the potential for the backdoor. This is all stuff that's out there, and nobody's putting it together. I should have put this under the red, white, and blue conspiracy theory. But I hope you have enjoyed the show. Do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. You can find my other podcast on there, Points on the Board, which is politics and sports, Red, White, and Rude, which is culture and politics. Remember, politics is downstream of culture. And my Fired Up California, all California, Californians. And we also have a new team, our Libertarian, our Free For All has a great kid, Hody Johns, and up there he teams up with Big John. I don't always agree with him, but if you're a Libertarian, you should check it out. It's some good stuff. And we have our basketball and our football podcast still going strong. So make sure you tune in. And do not forget to, before I say that, you can also find this at grumblingsmedia.com. You bookmark it. I said that. But you can find us at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. Do not forget to like and share this podcast. I am William Del Pilar, and I got to admit, I love going solo. This is Fired Up, and until next week, my friends, I bid you adieu.